This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gradham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
Bonkers, welcome to podcast number 118. We are actually at a different location. Typically, this time we're at the Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse, stop in and see him. If you need to buy or sell a house, Charterhouse and his team, they do a great job. I can speak from personal experience. They sold my house and I didn't even have it listed. That's how good they are. But Charter, unfortunately, is under the weather. I would tell you guys, if Charter was here, he would actually tell you why I was sick. But I'm a much nicer, much more respectful person, so I will not say what illness he's got. Chris Williams is up in Milwaukee covering the Iowa State team, doing a fantastic job as he always does. Make sure to check him out at CycloneFanatic.com for all your coverage needs. But don't worry, anybody who hasn't turned this podcast off in the first 45 seconds, it's going to get a lot better, I promise you, because we got Ted Flint in the house. Ted, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I do apologize if this podcast is not up to my normal standard. I'm pretty sure this is the most – I've never done a podcast sober. I don't think I have.
I got beer here. You want beer?
I've been looking at it. I think I'm good.
You sure? I got some whiskey, some scotch. I got – you know, I could take care of you.
Well, I don't want to roll into the Murph and Andy show later today stumbling on walls, so I better not start. But, yeah, this is new for me. It's like riding a bike, right? I just go through the flow. So I apologize if I am not my normal slurring self on
this
podcast.
It's going to save me a lot of time from having to go back and bleep out all the swear words. So that's good. I appreciate that. You know, you can't sit.
I pace when I podcast. I'm a pacer.
You're a pacer. Okay.
I just walk back and forth. I'm sorry if I'm making you uncomfortable.
No, not at all. I just want to make sure you're comfortable. So we're actually here in my house down in the basement at the bar. Since Charter was sick, I figured might as well just have him come here. I was pretty busy. I got been trying to get all the planning done. We're taking that bus out tomorrow, Ted, to Milwaukee, taking some Cyclone fans to cheer on the Clones. What do you think?
That's going to be fun. I mean, you get to watch two Iowa State victories. I mean, and you get a free ride there. You get a ride there, a ride in a hotel. Nice hotel, it sounds like. So, I mean.
Beautiful hotel. I'm excited about it.
If I hadn't already had money lined up to go to the spring game in Sy's house, I'd be definitely looking at that bus. So.
Yeah. No, the spring game, people forget because everyone's so excited off the Big 12 tournament and now the NCAA tournament. Spring game's just right around the corner.
Yeah. Gonna be a good time.
Do you try to make it up to all those?
This is the first time I've been to one in 5 years.
So. Okay, so hopefully we get some good weather.
I am kind of worried though. Spring game starts at 1:00. Size of house trivia is at 5:30. That's 4 hours of unsupervised day drinking between events that I need to be.
Have you learned the art of pacing yourself? Or are you still kind of just?
Once I start, I go. It's kind of like dropping nitrous on an engine. Like it's just there is no slowing down. It's slowly ramping up to debauchery. So.
You know, I had some set questions to ask here, you know, some conversation pieces like we do on the Fallcast. One of them was going to be, and it would have been great if Charter was here, who could drink more beers, Ted in a night or Charter in a week?
Well, I don't know what his tolerance is, but...
I feel very strongly in my answer on this one, but go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say.
So, anymore, I've been drinking more whiskey. I'm big in the Canadian whiskey right now. So,
yeah.
I was thinking about that because I had that, you kind of threw that question at me a little bit earlier, and on a normal Saturday when I'm podcasting, I either drink 7 to 12 beers and then either like a quarter or a half a bottle of BV. But depending on, sometimes that shifts more towards BV, less towards beer, more beers, less BV. Because I tend to, if you listen to pods, you know I tend to double fist during those. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it depends on the night. You know, I'm kind of worried about this Thursday, 9 o'clock tip.
So, Ted, so people are probably right now, if they haven't listened to your podcast, they're kind of intrigued now. What's going on? Yeah. Where can they find this podcast?
Yes, if you want to locate the podcast, it's called We're Not That Drunk. And plus,
which it doesn't sound like that's actually true.
No, and then we have the Drunk Dialing Podcast, which is on random Saturday nights, where if you want to call in and talk to me and Jared Smith, we basically just have some drinks and open the phone lines up. And this is all located at the tailgatesociety.com. It's a website that I co-created with Tom Danielson and Jared Smith and other people. And it's an amazing website. We have podcasts. We have write-ups. We have all kinds of March Madness write-ups today and this week. We have mascot write-ups. And we have a one that's dropping tomorrow about who's the hottest NCAA coach. And our writer, Dana Melcher, is having a problem getting a promo out of the first round. Because he's going against apparently the Nevada Wolfpack coach is pretty.
Oh, Eric Musselman
is pretty attractive, and she's having a crisis of conscience. This she said,
"Well, I mean, that is the one fallback from having Freddie, because Freddie would have won it all every time for this." Who's the girl you're talking about that's doing this?
Dana Melcher. She's a writer for the Tailgate Society.
I'm guessing that Dana probably would have had Freddie win it all.
I'll have to throw that at her. I know the West Virginia guy gets pretty far in her brackets. So
wait, Huggins?
Not West Virginia. Sorry, not Virginia.
Virginia, yeah. No, he's a good-looking coach. Tony Bennett's a good-looking guy. Yeah. I have no problem saying that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. So, yeah, so you when you drink this BV, you drink that on the rocks?
Or no, I do 7 and 7. Seven. Yeah,
there you go. Okay. I was starting to worry about you a little bit, but now you're bringing it back.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
People, we had some guy we just added to the website the other day. He had never heard of Black Velvet, and I about fired him. He hasn't even wrote a piece yet, and I about canned him.
I don't think that's a bad thing for someone not to have heard of. I mean, it's pretty basic, but I mean, it that's your go-to is Black Velvet?
Yeah, you can get a 1.75 for $16.
Yeah, you and my brother. You guys would get along real well. He likes the Black Velvet, too. So should we talk a little clones here quick? Is there
sure, man.
You feeling pretty good heading into Thursday night?
I mean, all last year we heard was Iona's going to give him trouble. Iona's plays the same way. They're fast. And we housed them, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think it's the same thing's going to happen. I am not worried about Nevada at all. Like, I mean, maybe that's me being overconfident. Maybe I'm being, way overconfident. But just
so
they run fast, and they have some NBA players, I guess. That's what Jay Billis is saying. But
everyone's saying that. But I've only seen that one, the Oliver guy, on some in the second rounds, So, but we heard the same thing with AJ English last year, too, for Iona. Yep. He was a really good player. Let's be honest, I feel Iowa State's going to win, too. Tell me if you're different here, but as soon as that game starts tomorrow, I'll be nervous for the whole first half.
That's the thing. I mean, but it's a 9 o'clock. That helps me. It's a 9 o'clock tip.
Yeah.
This team feeds off a crowd, feeds off of adversity. They're going to see other teams go down earlier in the day. I 100% think the only reason one of the main reasons they lost to UAB was it was an 11 o'clock tip.
Well, I completely agree with you. And it was an 11 o'clock tip after they won the Big 12 tournament. And they didn't win the Big 12 tournament like this team did last year. They won it in three games that were just down to the wire, had to spend all this energy to come back. And that Fred team was a little bit of fool's gold when they won that tournament.
Well, they didn't have any senior leadership, right? Who's their senior? BDJ?
BDJ was the guy. Hogue, I think, was a senior that year. Those were the two guys.
Yeah.
So, no, you're completely right. These guys have played hundreds of games together. I agree with you. I think Naz is that great leader, too, that's going to make sure that they're locked in. Yeah. And, I mean, if they keep playing like they played in the Big 12 tournament, where they, I mean, for the most part, they played fantastic that whole tournament.
Oh, yeah.
I like them not only against Nevada, but bring on Vermont or Purdue, because I think Iowa State gets them both.
I hope they play Purdue, because I'm getting kind of tired of, I mean, I'm on Twitter quite a bit, and I'm getting tired of the Eastern Iowa fan base watching on the Purdue as their horse this year. Like, Iowa State can't beat them. They have that Swaggington that's huge. But, like,
he's a good player.
The only time they played anybody that remotely looked like Burton was that guy from Michigan, and he torched him for 26 points, nine rebounds. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they haven't played anyone like Burton in their schedule.
Did you listen to Rob Gray and I's podcast yesterday?
I listened to 30 minutes of it.
30 minutes. Couldn't finish it. Wasn't good.
I was busy. I was doing some other stuff. I didn't come back to it. I gave you a download.
I'll take 30 minutes from you. I appreciate that. But, no, that was one thing I pointed out, too, is I think Iowa State's just a slightly better version of Michigan. I think Michigan's got a little bit more height, but Iowa State's guards are better. Walton's become – people forget this. Derek Walton Jr. was on the same AU team as Monte Morris.
Yeah.
And he was the higher-rated recruit. Michigan took him over Monte Morris, and Monte, without question, has had the better career. I would say for 3 of the 4 years, Walton was kind of a semi-bust for them. He's all of a sudden now the senior year played better. I don't know why we're getting off talking to Michigan. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm kind of comparing how I think Iowa State is the same kind of matchup problem for Purdue as Michigan
was.
Well,
I saw you got into that with that guy on Twitter the other night who said that if Iowa State lets Burton bring the court up, ball up the court to wear out Swingington, they're going to lose. And I'm like, why is that JB predict or
Jeff,
whatever?
Yeah.
And it's like, why wouldn't they let him bring up the court? He's not like Burton's a bad ball handler.
People say stuff like this, to me it seems like they haven't watched him play the last month and a half, 2 months. Because if they watch Burton play the first month or two of the season, I completely agree with you. Even like the first West Virginia game, West Virginia's game plan was take the ball out of Monte Morris's hands, make Deontay Burton beat you bringing up the court. He's gotten so much better that his offensive efficiency numbers are way better than they used to be. I still think, obviously, the offense has to go through Monte Morris.
Yeah.
But I'm perfectly comfortable with Burton having the ball. I'm perfectly comfortable with even now, which is crazy to say, is Babb bringing the ball up the court at times.
I'm kind of worried about Purdue, but I'm not worried about it to an extent to where I'm not going to lose sleep. I mean, you got to beat Nevada first, right?
Yep, absolutely. And anybody that you play in the NCAA tournament, especially if you're a 5 seed, they're all going to be good, right?
Yeah.
So you got to play really well to win any of these games. So there's not one – I mean, I personally look at the way the bracket shaped up for Iowa State. I don't think it could have been any better.
No, I hope they get KC in Sweet 16. I mean, or Kansas in KC, sorry, in the Sweet 16. That's my dream because after this past week listening to – all these Kansas fans just rain down about how Iowa State doesn't want anything important. The tournament doesn't matter. Like, why aren't you saying the word tournament when you say Big 12 champs? If they go into Kansas City and eliminate them, we can just throw back, does this game matter now? Like, just
for years.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking – that would be bragging rights for the rest of our lives. Hey, you guys might have won all these, but how many times do you ever beat us in the NCAA tournament? Because we've never played them before in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
You know what? You might not ever play him again. So it's kind of one of those, you beat a guy one-on-one in basketball, right?
Yeah.
And then you never, hey, I'm done playing. Yeah, I got bragging rights forever.
That's the thing. Like, I mean, Kansas fans act like they're so above it. So above it. And it just drives me insane.
But here, okay. Because I'm not a Kansas hater like you.
I hate Kansas.
I know you do. And that's fair. And I have no problem with that. The reason I don't mind Kansas is because, to me, they've earned it.
To an extent, they've earned it. But
they've won.
The one championship they got was handed to them. The guy, Memphis couldn't make free throws.
Yeah, okay, you say that, but that's part of the game, right? I mean, how many I could go back and say, did the Patriots get a couple Super Bowls handed to them?
That's not even the issue. The issue is, like, I talk with Kansas fans, and, like, I asked a Kansas fan the other day, like, I asked him if they had any bad NCAA losses. Just asking.
Absolutely.
Because we're actually running a piece, I think it's here today or tomorrow, on the website where our writer Spencer Hughes is breaking down the 12 most heartbreaking Iowa, Drake, you and I, Iowa State NCAA tournament losses, and there's plenty of them. So if you're looking to be a masochist and look up some past losses, you'll be on the website tomorrow. But I asked a Kansas fan, I go, is there any losses that you stick to you? And they said, it doesn't matter. I don't know why people get hung up on losses that 67 teams lose, there's only one winner. And that's crap. Like, Kansas fan, tell me they don't care about losses is crap.
Well, so okay, I agree with you on that. And there can only be one winner. They do. Kansas is weird because if you look at it, they've been in the tournament more years straight than any team in the country. Yep. They've actually, I think, the last 10 years, maybe won more tournament games than anybody else. But you are 100% right. When they lose, they're not losing. I mean, last year they lost to Villanova, the champion. Last year was a little different. That was a great. They probably played Villanova as good as anybody. But other years, when you're losing to Bucknell, Northern Iowa,
VCU,
you're losing some of these other games when you are the top 5 team in the country.
Yeah.
People remember that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do stand out more so than any other team as far as losing those games. And this year's team, as good as they are, and I think Kansas is very good this year, they have a small margin for error. It would not surprise me to see them lose to Miami in the second round. I think Miami's going to beat Michigan State, personally.
Yeah, I think this team, I don't think everyone, like, Kansas has, like, one of the best chances to win according to Vegas. I don't see it.
Yeah.
They run 6 deep. If Brad gets in foul trouble, that team's in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have any space, any size.
They don't. It's all – Landon Lucas is a nice player, but he's not the player that they've had before, like a Thomas Robinson type, you know, where they can go get 18 and 12 for you. I mean, he'll get you 10 and 7, and he'll play good defense, and – I would take a Landon Lucas on my team all day, but for what Kansas typically is, he's not great.
Yeah.
What really hurt them in the beginning of the year is when their 17, 18-year-old monster of a kid got hurt and was out for the year. Because he was slowly starting to get better. Yeah. You knew at this time of year he probably would have been
I forgot
nice.
About that, yeah.
But, yeah, so no, so we both have Iowa State advancing, going to the Sweet 16, and then from there, man, it's then it's going to be fun.
It'd be interesting if they can get down there. I do worry it's not going to be like Hilton South, though, because like
it won't be.
Because Kansas fans bought those tickets months ago.
Yeah, they did. And you know Louisville fans will travel if they're in that bracket.
Yeah, that's true.
But if Iowa State were to get past Kansas, they still would have at least a 70% of that place would be full of Iowa State fans for the Elite Eight. And then I like our chances a lot against a Louisville team we match up horribly against.
I don't know anything about Louisville except that they're in the overrated ACC.
Oh, come on now. You're full of hot takes today. We brought Ted on for the hot takes.
Clemson would be second in the Big 12. I heard that all year. Like,
yeah, I don't want to talk about Clemson because they're up 20. I may or may not have had some sort of small wager on them last night, and I checked back later, and they lost that game to Oakland. Sherrod Dorsey-Walker just going off.
Yeah, six of the eight teams lost that were favorites in the NIT last night.
You know what, though? Shame on me for betting on the NIT.
That's true.
I mean, really, when it comes down to it, that is just allegedly bet on the NIT.
I didn't even see the end of the K-State game. I was asleep.
Oh, really?
I went to bed. I put it on TV, and I fell asleep.
Yeah. They played, I mean, offensively, they played really well. You shoot 66% from the field, you're going to win.
Yeah. I mean, God bless them. They saved Bruce Weber's job, so he can stick around for another year.
So we could talk about that, too. Bruce Weber, to me, I don't like him.
No, but he can stay there as long as he wants.
He can. I thought this year, I don't understand why fans are mad at him this year. That team was projected to be like 9th or 10th in the Big 12. He's taken to the NCAA tournament. What is their problem with Bruce Weber?
It'd be like if McDermott, his last year when everyone hated him, made the tournament, and then Paula turned around and gave him five more years.
Well, you don't give him five more years.
I'm just saying, like, either way, like, they want him out. They don't like the way, like, they don't want any coaches. He's not really recruiting that well. They want him out.
So. I don't blame him there at all. It's they're in that weird spot where you almost are cheering for your team to lose.
They are cheering for their team to lose.
And that
I follow enough Kansas fans, State fans, listen. They weren't very happy with that win.
That's too bad. He just, oh, man, he's so whiny to me. So whiny. And I you know what?
He's the guy that sends something back at a restaurant that's slightly wrong.
Yeah, yeah. I hate those people. I may have some in-laws that are those kind of people.
I hope your wife doesn't listen to this podcast.
No, she did. Well, if she did, she would agree. Luckily, her family would not listen to it. Nice people. Really nice people. Just not great to go out to dinner with. Horrible. And here I am. I'm like apologizing. I'm like winking at the waiter. I'm like, I'll tip you extra. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Kansas State, I think Bruce Weber's a good coach. I just think he's a poor, poor recruiter. And you got to recruit this day and age.
And who are you going to get there, though? Right?
I mean, well, they messed up by not getting Underwood.
Yeah. That's what they're saying, though. Like, if you follow enough Kansas State fans, they think that K-State's going to throw money at Underwood.
No, he's not going
to. And going to get him.
No. Oklahoma State's a much, much, much better job, but he's there now. He's not going to leave them after 1 year. It's not. Yeah. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
On a side note for Big 12 coaches, does it bother you that Chris Beard doesn't have a beard?
This is spoken from someone who's got a nice beard.
I know.
Right here.
It bugs me that he doesn't have a beard and his last name is Beard.
You know what? It had never bothered me before, but now that you say this, it's probably going to bother me forever. I'll probably notice it.
I didn't even know what he looked like until the game this year, and I was like, where's his beard?
This is – well, we played him last year, Arkansas Little Rock. You don't remember it?
Well, was that the second game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
Is that when you had 10 beers and about half a bottle of Black Velvet?
Oh, we had a call-in show that night that was pretty lit. It was a later game, too. We had a guy call in that saw another guy get hit on his bike by a car on the phone outside of the arena in Denver.
Some of the stuff you can get on the Tailgate Society podcast. all right. What else? Oh, you wanna go through a couple of these questions here?
Sure. I want to get your pick on that Final Four question.
Okay.
If Iowa State made the Final Four.
I thought you said national championship.
Well, yeah, but you see with the Final Four banner.
Okay.
And they make the championship game, but they're guaranteed to lose to Iowa.
Yes.
Do you take the banners?
Okay, so this is a very good question. I am much different than most fans. I probably would have been answered this question differently as a kid. I used to hate Iowa because I grew up in Johnston, and 15, 20, 30 years ago, there were not many Iowa State fans. Now, if you go to Johnston, there's probably more Iowa State fans than there are Iowa fans going there. I don't hate Iowa anymore. I don't pay attention to Iowa. I've last 2 years I've watched less and less Iowa games. I probably only watched two of their basketball games all year.
I haven't watched very many. I'm the same way. I used to watch them all the time.
I don't get into arguments with Iowa fans, and I'm in a job now where I don't have to deal with them. Like, I don't go and work at an office of principal or Wellmark where you're sitting at the water cooler and there's bragging rights and you deal with it all day, every
you
day.
You just said that we'd have bragging rights forever on Kansas. Mm-hmm. This would be that tenfold.
It would be tenfold. So it'd be reversed. Would you take the championship but lose to Iowa? That's a good question. But here's the deal. Does Iowa win even if we're not in it?
No.
So Iowa's not in it. The only way they're in it is if we're in it. I'd say I'd have to pass on that one.
I think I would too.
I'd say I have to pass. But you know what? I'd be perfectly okay with it. And if it happened, because I've got to the point in my life, if an Iowa fan comes at me and talks trash, like I took a bus out this year, right? And watched us lose by 15 points in Carver Hawkeye Arena. You get fans saying stuff to you as you walk out there. That stuff does not bother me. Yeah. I know a lot of fans, it drives crazy.
That was our Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I mean, and they got a lot of kids in Iowa on their team, right? Yeah. Iowa State doesn't have any. I think there's a little bit to it on that. But that stuff just doesn't bother me anymore. To me, it's just – it is what it is. And I don't lose sleep over those games like I used to. So I don't think it would bother me if Iowa State got to the title game and lost to Iowa. But if I had to take a pick, I'd probably pass.
Can you imagine Twitter leading up to that?
It'd blow up. A Cyclone Fanatic and Hawkeye Nation literally would – break records.
Yeah, just a week. The week leading up to the Final Four would be awful.
I would start drinking on your level.
Well, just like last year, like they were like it was bad just when they were discussing them being in the same quads on bracketology, you know, or when Iowa was going to get Des Moines when Iowa State hosted it.
Yeah,
it got really bitter online. So
we're both passing.
Yeah, I'm not taking that. I'm not taking it at all.
The big story out of yesterday. Did you follow Williams or anything on Twitter and
about the haunted hotel?
No, I ignore that crap. Jeez. He's in a – Williams does so many great things for Cyclone Fanatic, and then he ruins it all with his crappy takes as far as haunted houses and aliens and stuff like that.
Did you see the gift that got created from his?
Yes, yes. Oh, gosh. But the big story, he met with the team as they got there from the hotel, and I didn't really realize this. I don't know if you did. I knew Prohm's wife was pregnant. I didn't realize she was so pregnant – to where he might miss an NCAA tournament.
Why can't
game.
She be in Milwaukee right now with him?
I don't know like her medical history on this or
they have good hospitals in Wisconsin, right?
They do.
It's not like it's Missouri.
No comment. I'm trying to stay clear. You're trying to get me in trouble, man. I'm gonna stay clear of this. Would you, if you were the coach at Iowa State, your team's in the NCAA tournament, your wife's pregnant with her second kid. She calls you up. Iowa State's about ready to go tip off in about 30 minutes. I'm going into labor. I need you here right now. What are you saying? What are you doing?
You got to go to the hospital because you'll never hear the end of it, ever. Ever. Ever.
Okay.
Can you imagine every birthday party for that kid's till he's 18? Till the rest of his life. How your dad wasn't there?
Ted.
Did you miss one of your kids' birth?
No, but here's the deal, Ted. If I was a coach at Iowa State, I'd make $1.5 million. I buy my kid a really nice birthday present every year and apologize to him with a nice, nice birthday present, and he'll get over it real quick.
But they don't care. But then what happens if he doesn't go and there's a late-game situation and he messes up? Then he's going to hear about how he was distracted and he wasn't there. At least if he's not there, the assistant coach gets all the flack.
Now, I could say this, and my wife could listen to this, and I feel perfectly comfortable. If my wife was in labor with our kid, and I'm coaching Iowa State NCAA tournament, I'm not even thinking about my wife.
Well, who
giving
are they
birth.
Playing? Can we notch up per opponent?
No, Nevada. Yeah,
he can miss Nevada. Kansas? No, I mean then no. He has to coach the Kansas game.
I talked to my wife about this, and she's like, "I would just assume that you would not be there."
I feel like we need a graph of ratcheting up the situations.
Well, sure. If let's say you're Kansas and you're playing Texas Southern, sure you can miss that game. And if it's a regular season game, even if it's Kansas in the regular season and you need to be gone, go for it. But it's the NCAA tournament with four seniors, and I'm not killing Coach, by the way. This
better because you have four seniors.
This is all in fun.
Bowie could coach that team to beat Nevada.
We could bring.
I'm never know anything about Bowie, but I feel like he'd be a good enough coach to beat Nevada.
Are you saying we could bring Greg McDermott or Wayne Morgan back?
No. Well, I think Morgan maybe. He won an NCAA game.
He beat Minnesota. Yeah, and then we lost to North Carolina.
That was St. Patty's Day. I was coming back from Emmitsburg, listening on the radio.
The Minnesota game.
UNC game.
UNC. Yeah. That Holman had a great game that day. But yeah, no, I just I find that very interesting. I kudos to him and for doing it.
But
she's not technically
due till like the Elite A weekend.
Yeah.
Not that we've been discussing this on the website. We've actually mapped out when she's exactly due.
You guys have
Elite Eight was like the, around the exact day.
Do you have a baby due calendar? You guys got money on that pool or anything?
A few of us Iowa State fans got together and we discussed when it could be due.
So Iowa State's got a chance. They're playing Louisville in Kansas City for the Elite Eight.
Well, that's different. No, you got
to be there, right? You got to coach. These kids, these university, we depend on you.
I feel like you have to coach, but I feel like you're going to get a lot of crap. See, I didn't cuss there. I could have.
You could say shit. I don't. Chris isn't here. Chris isn't here.
I feel like you, the higher up the seeding, you have to stay the game.
And here's the thing. I wonder, and we could probably find this out because it's public knowledge, but if Prohm goes to the Final Four, how much of a bonus he gets? I bet it's a huge.
You got $100,000 for doing the last two things, right?
I think so. I bet, what, $250,000 for going to the Final Four?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, his wife, I bet she'd forgive him pretty quickly if he brought home an extra $250,000.
Yeah.
I know I would. Oh, I don't know. I saw that. I thought it was funny. And I told my wife.
I think it's at the end of the month. I think he has a few weeks yet.
Yeah. To me, it's different.
Why can't they just schedule a C-section?
They could. They could do it. Do it like on
a Monday.
Do it on Friday, right in between the games.
No, do it on Monday. Well, yeah.
I'm kidding. yeah. My wife.
Just make sure
her
hotel
kids.
Has True TV.
Is it different if it's your first kid or your second?
I think I don't know. I don't want to shout the second kid by saying no. Right.
I think it's different. Maybe I've. I said that to my wife, and that's where she disagreed. She was like, no, there's one,
all,
two, three, four, five,
like,
six.
So we always get to, we love them all equally.
No, that's any parent that says that's lying. I rank my kids every day, and I tell them.
Well, I love all my writers on my website equally because they're like my kids.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
All 29 of them, they're all equally.
Do you do daily rankings of how they're behaving and how their writing is?
No.
Because I will tell, like, Owen, you've been great today, bud. You're number one on my list, my favorite kid. Olivia, you've been crying a lot. You dropped the number three. Jake, you're right in the middle. And I do it jokingly.
I know how future therapist sessions are going to start. I mean, that's how that's going to start.
Yeah,
there were these rankings, Dr. So-and-so.
And my brother was ranked number one more than I was.
Probably got like an etch-and-sketch up in their bedroom where they like.
Hey, my kids are very well behaved, and I think a part of it is because they want to be number one on my list. They're playing for that top seed. Nice. Any other questions we need to get to?
I wanted to ask you, because you're older like I am, can you believe on that poll I put on Twitter the other day how high Niang's foot is for if you could switch one NCAA ball kick, what would you change?
No, that doesn't surprise me at all, and I'll tell you why. It's the same reason fans right now, if you say, hey, who's the greatest football player of all time?
Yeah.
Tom Brady's the first one that they say.
Yeah, no, they don't, because Tom Brady sucks.
I mean, we'll get along just fine, buddy. But – and I'm not saying Tom Brady is or isn't, but the reason people say it is because Tom Brady's playing right now. People forget about how great Joe Montana was with his five championships, Terry Bradshaw, his four. And the Blarge now is what, 17 years ago?
My junior year of high school.
Yep. So it was a long time ago. People, I think, tend to not forget it, but it's just the emotions have kind of worn off from that. Where the Niang one is still fresh. I mean, Niang's only 1 year removed from Iowa State. So for that sense, it doesn't surprise me. The Blarge is the obvious answer. Actually, should we read off your tweet real quick?
And I didn't put Hampton on there because I don't remember anything from the Hampton game that like could have switched it besides Tinsley throwing the game.
Yeah, Tinsley throwing. That doesn't help at all. Okay, so you can stop one of these from happening and only one. What do you choose? Your four options were UAB, Niang's ankle.
Which is his foot. I'm an idiot for saying ankle.
That's fine. The Blarge or Kraft's three. So, okay, let's go one by one here. Let's start with the UAB game. That one's automatically the first one cut, in my opinion. And the reason why, I thought that team, them winning the Big 12 tournament that year was kind of just fluky. It really was. They went down to Kansas State, blew the game. They blew the game to Baylor. That team, and Matt Thomas said it just the other day, that team had more talent than this year's team, but that team did not get along like this year.
I wish I could read a book on that year's team.
Oh, my gosh.
So much stuff, like, happened, you know, like.
Well, I mean, the whole Bryce Dejean Jones, drug house.
I was thinking about this the other day. Do you think when Fred was in town that they had a, like on the Ames police station, like at the front desk, there's like a number, like a piece of paper taped to a wall, and it just had like the mayor and his phone number. So like whenever someone got in trouble, like they would call him up. They didn't even say the mayor, so that they couldn't get in trouble. Like said like FM or something. Like,
oh, yeah.
What's this number? Oh, that's if so-and-so gets pulled over, call that number first.
Right there, yeah.
Because they said they called in his apartment like 10 times or something.
A lot. So it just really sounds like he was just being kind of a douche a little bit.
Got to be like disappointing your dad having Fred come to your.
How good, how talented when he played well was Bryce, though? I mean, remember that Arkansas game? I don't think he missed a shot all game. Scored like 28 points. I mean, yeah. And he was smooth. Gosh, he was good. That team had a ton of talent, but just because I know a lot of – they were the trendy pick to go to the Final Four by national people mm-hmm. because of how they won that tournament. They beat Oklahoma. They beat Kansas. They came back and beat Texas. But I was down there for a couple of the road games, and I always thought
they shouldn't have beat Texas and they shouldn't have beat Oklahoma.
No, and they were down 15 against Kansas
because
before coming back.
Spangler missed the
little bunny. Yeah. Yep. And Texas really kind of just puked their whole game away.
Yeah.
If Iowa State doesn't win that first game against Texas, instead of them being a 3 seed, they're probably a 5, and everybody's fading them big time.
Yeah.
So that one to me is automatically out, and you lose to UAB, you don't get any love. The second one that goes out, and I was at this game, was Crafts 3. And that team was a 7 seed, if I remember correctly.
And playing in Ohio.
Either that or a 10 seed. And
They were 10.
10, and they beat up on Notre Dame.
Oh, that's going to bother me.
Whatever, they kicked.
Yeah, they were 10. They beat Notre Dame.
They kicked the crap out of Notre Dame. It was a great game. It was when their big guy talked a lot of smack beforehand, yeah. And then Niang, who was only a freshman, just abused him the whole game. They couldn't stop Niang. Yeah. And the reason this one's the second one to cut out is because Babb rolled his ankle in the first half of that game.
Yeah.
Didn't play in the second half, and from the sounds of it, he would have been borderline, probably would not have been able to play the next week.
Yeah.
So that hurt right there. The Craft 3, though, that hurt. Like I was out that door before the game was even over. Wow. He hit that 3, and I
won the angriest I've ever been in a basketball game.
And then to make matters worse, we had to drive through the worst snowstorm of all time on the way. It was like driving over moguls on the way back. It was terrible.
And he's like a 27% three-point shooter, right?
Yeah.
And of course, Niang is guarding him, and everyone loves Niang, and he has to be the one guarding him because he like went through like the – could not have been more stereotypical Iowa State. career for Niang. You know, Garden Craft hurts his foot.
Yep.
UAB.
Yep.
Before finally getting to this week 16.
Yep.
Like just 3 straight ball kicks.
Yeah. You're 100% right. And he was, God, he was good. That one. Now, Niang's ankle's the second on this list. Foot. Niang's foot. I'm reading what you wrote here. Niang's
foot. I know.
Is the second on this list for me. It's closer to the Blarge than people think, though.
Yeah.
And the reason why is I still think that team was a Final Four caliber team, and you get to the Final Four, who knows?
Who did UConn beat the next weekend? Wasn't someone named very good.
They beat someone bad, and then I think they might have beat Michigan State to go to the finals, the Final Four.
Or did they meet Michigan State the next game? Because I think they're in Michigan State's region. I think they beat Michigan State in the Elite.
I thought Michigan State was the 1 seed that year, but I could be wrong. Let's pull this
up. Yeah, but Iowa State would have been on the bottom half of the bracket.
Yeah, Iowa State was on the bottom, and Michigan State was so they had played them in the Elite Eight, is what I'm saying. And Iowa State lost that game. Yeah, in the Sweet 16. Yeah,
they lost
right.
by 5 to
yeah.
UConn.
Yeah, you're right.
When Hogue went nuts.
He did. Worst thing that ever happened to Dustin Hogue, in my opinion.
Was him going nuts?
Yeah, because I think it made him think he was this big-time scorer, and what made Dustin Hogue really good was being the dirty rebounder, defense, tough guy. Junior year Dustin Hogue was awesome, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, senior year, when he blocked Oklahoma State to win the game, it was pretty good.
No, he was. I mean, I'm not trying to kill him, but
people forget how many close home wins Iowa State has.
Mm-hmm. That magic, man. Magic.
Still bitter about the Cincinnati game from this year.
Championship. I'm pulling up UConn here.
I'm pretty sure. But I'm talking about the ankle thing. But I don't – they beat North Carolina without him.
They did.
And you don't know what he changes. That whole game could change. Maybe they lose in North Carolina from Niang. Maybe North Carolina doesn't take Iowa State as easy because Niang's playing, you know?
Well, so you're 100% right, which is very similar to the Blarge. But I think they mop up on North Carolina. I think they would have destroyed UConn. And UConn won the title. But I still think because Iowa State struggled to score for so long and Hogue was the only one scoring, you put Niang on that offense. I don't care how good UConn's defense was. Iowa State was scoring.
Didn't UConn also sit like they would have had to sit their big guy because they couldn't guard Niang, right? That was the big storyline going into it. They had some like 7-footer that wouldn't have been able to play because Niang would have ate him.
Michigan State was a 4 seed, by the way, when they beat them.
Okay. Was that in the Elite Eight?
In the Elite Eight. So Iowa State probably would have been, with Niang, probably would have been favored to beat Michigan State in that game. And then they beat Florida, who was a 1 seed in the Final Four, and Kentucky, who was an 8 seed in the championship
game. Yeah,
because
Kentucky got, I think, Wichita State first round.
Yep. That one, I'll never forget. So Niang was unbelievable in that game.
It ruined my weekend when he got there. It was a Friday. It was a Thursday. I don't know what day it was, but it ruined my whole weekend.
I was driving home with the kids. We watched the game at my parents' house, and John Walters came on the radio and said it was either Walters or Heft that he'd broke his foot. And I remember just wanting to just drive it at the off the road. I yelled. Like, I was so angry. I yelled because I left there and I told my wife, I said, this team is going to the final. This team, they were – that team was the best. I mean, as good as this team's playing, I still think that team was a little bit better.
I think it's mostly because I think it had, I think it's because of Kane. Because Kane's – I love Morris. Kane was bigger than Morris.
He's 20, right? He was 24.
Yeah, and he was a big dude. Yeah. Like, he was like 2 or 3 inches taller. Like, he could back down people in the lane.
Yep.
Where Morris really can't, but his floater is just as deadly, you know.
Yep.
But yeah, that team was good, and it like it was a rough weekend. I was so angry. So I think it was Friday, and they played UNC on Sunday. So all weekend, you thought they were going to lose to UNC.
Yeah, and then they won it, and I was sucked back in, and I went and flew out to New York City to watch us lose to UConn. But
five.
Yeah, and you know,
but it wasn't even that close. It was like they're down by 15 the whole game.
They got it back. I think Naz hit a three. To go, we're down 3 points, or somebody hit a three. We're down 3 points, and I thought we're going to pull us off because we'd been kind of the comeback team too that whole year. We're going to come back. We're going to be good. We got this game, and then UConn guy had hit a corner three right after that, and we just never got over the hump.
One thing I think, like, Iowa State's been good now for 5 years. People are kind of forgetting. Like, I just remember this when they were playing Virginia last year. We got back up in 5 or 6, and Niang got like a phantom fourth foul.
Horrible call,
and like no one talks about that. Right? I mean,
yeah.
And then that guy hit the basket and he hit his and one and went back, like, being like 4 or 5 point game, like an 8 point game, and Niang has sit for 6 or 7 minutes.
Yep.
So.
No, I agree. That was because Niang was really the only one that was doing anything against Virginia.
They got down like 15 points.
Just like that. Yeah. That was a rough one because that place wanted to be Hilton East.
Mm-hmm.
And they just never, they never gave them the opportunity to really get going. But the Blarge is obviously the number one because you win that game, you're in the Final Four, and if you're in the Final Four, Iowa State might have been the favorite at that point.
Have you watched that game recently?
I watched it yesterday after you sent me this.
I didn't realize how much time was left in the game when that happened.
Yeah. So, you know, the Blarge people like to complain about, and rightfully so, it's terrible. Yeah. But there were a lot of other plays that happened, some bad calls against Iowa State, and Iowa State did unravel in that game.
Mm-hmm.
They did, and Tinsley missed a white. He made a sweet spin move and then missed that layup. I mean, where he's pretty wide open,
yeah.
Which almost Hampton-esque is really what it was. That hurt. Pfizer got the and one, and he's going to shoot the free throw. Paul Shirley falls on his face in the free throw line for a violation. I mean,
there was like a charge call at midcourt or something.
It was a weak call. I mean, maybe 50-50 weak call. The 3 seconds in the lane against Iowa State was a complete garbage call in that game.
Yeah.
And then they called the foul, I think, on Michael Nurse. That hurt. But you know what? Reminded me of when Pfizer got that moving screen.
Yeah.
In today's rule, they don't go shoot free throws. Offensive fouls, you don't shoot free throws. Back then, you did. So not only did Pfizer, I think that was his fourth foul, pick up his fourth foul there, but it then sent Michigan State to get 2 free points, and it was killer.
I feel like the refs are going to give him the game no matter what. I feel like that game, it just seemed like something fishy is going to happen the whole game.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there were about 4 calls from about the 6 to 7 minute mark on that you look at and you're like, that's BS. But Iowa State still did. They didn't. I think they made 1 field goal the last 6 minutes.
I just wish that our Iowa State was good enough to where like Kansas or we could get a team or like a Sweet 16 matchup 30 minutes from Ames. That'd be nice, right?
I mean, yeah,
Kansas,
Des Moines.
Kansas is playing in Kansas City in a week or 2 weeks, and it's 30 minutes away.
Yeah,
Well,
hopefully Des Moines down the road, right?
I don't think you should. I don't think I understand like the first 2 rounds getting a regional helpful. I don't think you should get home field the next 2 rounds. I understand it's to sell tickets, but you should be able to sell Elite Eight, Sweet 16 tickets no matter who's there.
Well, here's the deal, too. You know that they're saving a bunch of them for corporate people anyway.
Yeah.
Or scalpers. And I think Iowa State only gets an allotment of like 450 tickets.
Can you imagine if, like, in the college football playoffs, they put the semifinals somewhere close? I mean, I guess it's in Atlanta, isn't it? I guess. So I guess that's real bad. Atlanta, Knicks, Bama. They don't play in Atlanta for the college football playoffs?
Oh.
That's kind of crap, too, right?
They trade that off every year, don't they?
Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was like real close to where Bama was at this year. That's why they switched the seeding up a little bit to help Bama.
Yeah. But part of it, if you're the number one seed, do you get rewarded for having a great year? I mean, I see both sides do it.
Yeah, I guess, but you should want the best teams to be able to win on neutral field.
I agree.
But I'm a bitter Iowa State fan who's been ruined by, you know, Ohio State playing in Dayton and Michigan State playing in East Lansing. And
even with Iowa State playing in Dayton, we were the better team, should have won that game. Babb's injury was a killer, and then the ref, the charge on Clyburn
was bad,
and that was the killer because Iowa State makes that. I think they might have gone up like 6 points or something like that.
Yeah,
it was bad. That
I think it went up 4. So then took the two off. Took two off to
four, and then if
then
you
the guy
made
hit the three,
if,
and won the game.
If you had made the free throw, it would have been up five, and we would have been
But then they're up two, and Kraft went mid three.
A forgotten play on that was Iowa State. It was a tie ball game. Iowa State actually gets the stop. Ohio State missed the shot. Melvin Edgem gets the rebound, and Melvin Edgem back then had those stony hands of his and fumbled the ball out of bounds, which gave Ohio State the ball with 20-some seconds to go, which then allowed Kraft to hit that shot.
You know more about that than I do. I only remember the three in the charge.
Yeah. The Kraft also got he went under the hoop. He was out of control, and the refs bailed him out on a call, too. We need to have Bloom on one of these so he can, like, try to stand up for the officials. It was funny, though, because I'm watching the Iowa State-Michigan State game because of your video that you put on there. And I'm watching it, and I text Bloom. I said, the moving screen call on Marcus Fizer, good call or bad call? He didn't even have to watch it. He goes, Adam, I've watched it 100 times, and I still don't know. 50-50.
It's just such a painful loss. And young people don't understand how painful of a loss. Because they can see clips of how good that team is, but they don't know how good that team was. That team was good.
Yeah, they were tough. Well, we were essentially Kansas that year because we won the Big 12 regular season and the Big 12 championship. And I know you hate that I compared
to
Kansas.
I should have added Fizer coming back his senior year on that poll.
But there was no reason for him to come back. He was the third pick of the draft, right?
Yeah, I know, but we can play what if, right? I mean.
Yeah, I know. What about if Brackens comes back?
He left when he was a junior.
Yeah. We still wouldn't have been very good.
Well, that'd been Hoiberg's first year.
Yeah.
Or I should do it in the pool. Fizer comes back, Bracken stays, and we redshirt Deontay for the second year of Fred's team.
Yeah. Brackens comes back, and he redshirts.
With Deontay.
So you have Deontay, Royce, Brackens, Chris Allen, Scotty Christopherson.
I was trying to remember who the four transfers were the other day with Royce.
And Bab.
Was it Bab, Royce?
Corey Lucius.
Was he with – he was a second year of Clemson.
No, he was, second year.
Was it Allen or?
It was Chris Allen. It was Royce White. It was Chris Bat. Oh, Anthony Booker.
Booker.
Anthony Booker. That's who it was. Yeah, Booker looked like Tarzan.
Poor man's Dustin Hogue.
He liked, for being as big and strong as he is, he sure did like to just stand in that corner for the three, didn't he? He shot it pretty good.
Do you think Simeon Carter is going to get a scholarship to be a cheerleader again next year on the team?
No, I don't think he will be. Don't ask. See, you're trying to get me in trouble again here by saying stuff like
well,
that.
Well, you guys have a wider audience. I mean, I can say stuff like on this on ours. I don't have to worry about it. I mean, I did get Pollard to unblock me, so, I mean, I feel like pretty invincible. So,
did he unblock you?
I met him in person at an event like a year ago, and he unblocked me.
Right then and there?
Yeah.
On the spot?
He pulled his phone out, found me, and unblocked me.
What did you do to get blocked?
The week after the Texas game debacle where we lost the first half on the side TV like 3 years ago, they released a schedule for the next week, and I asked him if any of the games are going through Atlanta to make sure they'd be on TV, and he blocked me.
For that?
Yeah.
What a baby.
Or it might have been the fact that I tagged him in like 12 statuses the night of the Texas game. But I didn't get blocked that night. I got blocked a week later for the tweet.
Okay, now it's all
I know,
all
but like it was a week later, so either he must have like just like did the connection or whatever. But
he hasn't blocked me because I've never tweeted at him. But maybe one day he might because I've been critical of him.
I know a lot of people that are blocked by him.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, shoot, Charter is because he said it is time.
My buddy got blocked for showing photos of empty student sections at basketball games, asking why tickets weren't getting sold to for non-students.
That was back in the McDermott era, I'm assuming.
No, it was 3 years ago.
Really?
It was during like holiday break. No, it wasn't during holiday break. It was definitely during the
Freddie years.
But it was during non-con.
Ah, okay.
And he was asking why you couldn't open up the upper deck for.
That's a tough one though. I understand that because if you sell so many, you don't want all of a sudden everybody to show up for a game and the headache that could ensue as far as you don't have a place to sit. I understand. That's very difficult.
Maybe we should give away free pizza. Good students there.
Not taking a jab at – so you've taken a jab at Kansas, the Hawkeyes, Simeon Carter.
No, I like Simeon Carter. He's one of my favorite gift
– cheerleaders?
Gift people I have on my phone. I would pay good money to know what Simeon Carter told McKay to do the jerk-off motion on the sideline. Have you not seen that?
I've seen it.
I wonder what they were talking about.
I'm sure we could figure this out.
No, I've looked at it. I've looked at it 1,000 times.
I know. I bet we could ask. I bet we could find out the right. Williams is up there in Milwaukee right now. Should I text him and be like, go over to Simeon's hotel and knock and find out?
I'll say I can text him the gif and ask him.
Oh, I'm sure he's seen it.
I just like to know what the conversation. Because they're not like, they're joking. Like, they're not like, when I do that, it's like I'm mocking somebody, but they look like they're jolly about it.
Wasn't that when McKay – wasn't that a big deal because McKay had just come back from suspension and wasn't even starting at that point? And
but he had playing, though.
He was played, but he wasn't – like, yeah. He wasn't playing his typical McKay minutes, and so everyone was up in arms about it. But, you know, speaking of McKay, I mean, he came back, had a good end of the year last year, and now we're seeing the same thing from Bowie. Bowie had a suspension. I never thought we would almost even see him again because he was in the doghouse.
And he's making free throws.
He's making free throws. I mean, he was special in the Big 12. I mean, some of the plays he made, Solomon Young was struggling against Okie State. He came in, and I thought the whole game kind of just went Iowa State's way when Bowie went in that game.
I mean, I've been saying this a little bit, and I get mocked for it. How many more years does Prohm's teams have to get better at the end of the year before he becomes like a poor man's Izzo? Two years now, his teams have gotten better.
Okay.
I'm not saying Izzo's up here, Prohm's way down here. But every year his teams have gotten better.
Can I correct you here? And can I do it without coming off as a Prohm, not a lover?
Are you not a Steve Prohm guy?
No, I love Steve. I love Steve. That's why. But I'm going to make a count. I'm going to make a point here, and I don't want people to be like, "Well, he's just killing Prohm," because it's not true. Last year, before the NCAA tournament, Iowa State finished the year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They went 5-7 their last 12 games. And then they went to the NCAA tournament, and they beat Iona and Arkansas Little Rock. So did they really get better last year at the end of the year?
All I know is Seth Davis said Iona was going to beat Iowa State, so therefore Iowa State must have been the underdog.
See, now you're pulling Seth Davis into this. I think Iowa State, Iowa State was like 11, 12-point favorite in that game, weren't they? They were a pretty good favorite. But, I mean, I'm not saying this year's team is clearly – I mean,
they were 5-7 last 12?
Last 12.
How many were those losses towards the beginning of the 12? Or is it like just every other game?
Well, they lost Oklahoma and Kansas for the last two games of the year. So those are tough games, right?
Yeah.
And then they won two before that. But then before that, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, loss.
And then they lost the tournament game, Texas.
Yep. So
I'm not – Morse was hurt. Morse was hurt in that – he shouldn't even been on the court when he got hurt last year. I'm so angry about that. Like, they were out of that Kansas game. They weren't going to win it. And when he hurt his shoulder, they were down 10.
I forgot about that.
I know all the pain. It just sits in my...
Yeah, you remember those times, don't you? Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the good stuff?
kind of. I have too many... My heart's been hurt by Iowa State. I was at both Kansas City football games when they lost to K-State. That block PAT is the most painful Iowa State loss in my history.
See, this is turning into the most depressing podcast in Cyclone Fanatic history. Here we are. We're in the middle of the greatest run.
This is why I drink during podcasts.
But you got to sit back. Well, this is the greatest run in Iowa State basketball history right now. We're on. I mean, 6 years straight of the NCAA tournament.
And they have two awesome recruiting classes coming in this year, and last year's class was good. So I mean, I don't think it's going to end next year.
No, I mean they're clearly going to take a step back next year. But I think with what we've seen from Babb, Donovan Jackson, Wiggington's going to be a stud. I mean, the kid's going to be a stud. They're going to be a little bit better than people think, but they're not going to be this year's team.
They can't be. 4 stars on the team. There's that other guy that they're
Terrence Lewis is very good.
About.
Yeah, Terrence
Lewis. And people forget about Lard that's been sitting on the bench. You have Jacoby Long was a top 100 recruit. He hasn't been played. But just because they're not playing, they're playing behind a senior team.
Yeah.
They had the 32nd best recruiting class last year.
Yeah, I know. But 30 – I'm not killing – I think it's natural to have a little bit of a –
The only reason people aren't talking about the recruiting class now is because I was – "quote unquote great recruiting class," which
I don't even
have. All those players are legacy players.
See, you're bringing this into a guy that doesn't pay any attention to the Hawkeyes. So I'm not coming at it from that. I don't even look at Iowa's class. All I do know that McCaffrey's son's going to play there, right?
Yeah,
a little bit better than Licklider's son, I think.
They're both going to go play there, and they have that big, tall Lorenzo or whatever guy going. It's like a 6'9".
Lonzo Ball's son?
No. You mean Bill Brasky?
But no, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Iowa State's going to be – they're going to be solid next year. It's going to be fun because it's just different, right?
Yeah.
There's not going to be any expectations, so it's all going to – you're not going to want me to compare them, but it's going to be kind of comparable to what Iowa had this year, where you just sit back and any little thing that you can see for the future is exciting.
Do you think Iowa State Twitter can survive that?
They're
a fickle bunch.
I don't care if it can or not. people can deal with it however they want to. But, I mean, it's going to be a step back next year. It has to. You can't replace six seniors, four of which are as decorated as they are.
I understand what you're saying. I'm actually excited for next year because I'm almost excited. I'm tired of – this is going to sound sacrilegious. I'm tired of Hoybrook's players.
Wait, you get the hell out of my house right
now.
No,
it's just because
– you get the hell out of my house.
It's, no matter what Prohm does now, it's always he didn't really do it because they're not his players.
Okay, you are right. You are 100% right. But here's
this is, that,
it's going to go one or two ways here, okay? Prohm's going to continue to win his whole career at Iowa State, and people will give him credit for these first 2 years. Yeah. Or he's going to do what Paul Rhodes did and start losing, and they're not going to give him credit for these first 2 years. And that's just – that's the nature of the beast, right? Right now, everyone loves Prohm, and it's his – but if he all of a sudden goes 4 years straight without the NCAA tournament, he won't get credit for these next 2 years. And I'm not – I'm just that's just the way it is with fan bases, because we did the same thing with Paul Rhodes, and I'm a Paul Rhodes guy.
I love Paul Rhodes.
But you know how it is. You see it on Twitter. I see it on Cyclone Fanatic. People change their arguments from year to year, from day to day. And it's the best example. You're really upset right now because Kansas fans are saying – Iowa State is the Big 12 tournament champions, and that bothers you.
It does.
To me, they're 100% right.
But the Big 12 doesn't call them tournament champions.
It's
not on the ring.
I don't care what they call them. Remember when Iowa under Steve Alford won the Big 10 championship, and he kept calling himself the Big 10?
People keep bringing that up. I don't care about what Iowa won in 2005.
But Iowa State fans used to mock Steve Alford for doing the same thing. They did, Ted.
Now you're trying to get me drop an F-bomb when we're talking about Steve Alford. I just had to swallow one then. There, all these people picking UCLA to make their Final Four, I have no idea how awful of a person Steve Alford is.
As I get older, I try more and more to not go back and forth on my arguments. And it's hard because there are certain things where if it's your team and you're passionate about it, you want to argue that side of it, even though you know if the next year you're on the other side of it, you would argue the opposite side.
That's why I haven't really said anything about Iowa this year. I've been kind of – because like you said, it could very well do the exact same thing next year.
Yeah. And, I mean, this is not the Iowa podcast, but all in all for their team, they did a good job. A bad conference. The Big Ten stunk this year. But, I mean, they did a good job.
Be nice to have that schedule.
Not basketball.
Can you imagine having six TCUs on the schedule?
Yeah, I mean, okay. So, to me, I'm very different on this. Basketball gave me the hardest schedule in the country. I love it. And football gave me the easiest schedule in the country.
To an extent, but six TCUs on the schedule.
Yeah, but that also hurts
Kansas,
the tournament resume.
Kansas State is via KenPom, and I hate KenPom. I hate it. Don't get me started on KenPom. I hate it.
Me and you, buddy.
Kansas State would be the second best Big 10 team via KenPom.
Yep. Wait, no. Let's pull this up.
I swear to God, I just Tom Danielson just told me this stat before I drove in the
Tom would know, man. Tom is your guys like Kirk Holland.
He texted me this just right before I pulled in the driveway.
Okay, so Kansas State, according to KenPom, where are you?
Oh, 28.
I'm looking at 2016 right now.
Kansas State is 28 on KenPom right now.
28, okay.
I think so.
Wisconsin's 23, Michigan's 20, Purdue's 15. They'd be fourth best.
Well, okay, maybe that's – top half.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, because KenPom does not like Maryland at all. Maryland is like 43rd, and I think they're a six seed. They're their second highest
apparently
rated.
I didn't pick any Big Ten teams to make out of the first round. I didn't realize that until after I did the bracket, but it got pointed out to me pretty quickly afterwards.
Okay, so we're a little over 50 minutes right now, so let's do this real quick. Okay, this will be fun.
I don't do short podcasts, Gray.
That's fine. You know what? I wouldn't either, but Williams always cuts me off.
Yeah,
he's a fun hater.
Him and Danielson both, they get mad at me if I go over an hour.
Oh, really?
I have an hour time limit, even though I never hit that hour.
Williams is 45 minutes for me, and he cuts me off. Rob and I yesterday was 50 minutes. Right now we're sitting at we're at 51, so we'll make this real quick.
People are going to Milwaukee. They got listed as something. It's a long trip.
That's a good point. Make it northeast, Hilton Northeast up there. Okay, let's pick a team from each conference that's going the furthest in the tournament.
I can't pick a Big Ten team, so they're all losing the first round.
You got to pick one. You got to. Got to pick one.
Northwestern.
It's a terrible pick. Awful.
You wonder why I picked Northwestern? Because they're losing the next game. Because they're an 8 seed.
Who does Northwestern play Vanderbilt? Am I right on that?
Vandy. And then they play Gonzaga.
The Northwestern Vanderbilt.
Only because Iowa fans hate Northwestern. I don't know why. They hate them.
Yeah. The Northwestern Vanderbilt, did they do that on purpose? Like the two smartest teams in there? Well, Princeton's in there too.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, for the Big Ten, I'm going to take Maryland because I believe Maryland
has Xavier.
Xavier's got a player that's hurt that they just haven't been very good lately. Although I don't like this Maryland team at all, but they have a best chance of going to the Sweet 16. There's not one Big Ten team that looks like they're.
Is there a more overrated player last 4 years than Melo Trimble? I've never seen him have a good game.
Melo Trimble is either really good or really bad. I think Nigel Hayes is up there for me
for
Wisconsin. I've never understood why he's on NBA draft boards. He doesn't do it for me. Sorry, I'm getting phone calls.
You're getting blown up.
I know. Okay, so we got Big Ten. How about the ACC? Which team goes furthest in the ACC?
I'm going to say Duke.
Okay. I'm going to go Louisville, which is unfortunate because they're in Iowa State's bracket.
At what point does Grayson Allen become the anti-hero and we all start rooting for him, ironically? Because everyone hates him now, right?
Yeah, it's
I mean, not the point of WWE since Williams isn't here, but he's Triple H. At some point, people start rooting for the bad guy, and Grayson Allen's the bad guy.
You know when that happens? When he stops playing for Duke. He goes the NBA or something. Maybe people will start cheering for him then. But it's unfortunate that he's so hated.
Who are they? Who's their one seed? Villanova? I think it could be Villanova.
Yeah, they could be Villanova. Yeah. I mean,
similar style.
Louisville's
right?
One seed is Kansas. North Carolina's the one seed. To me, you could go with any three of those. ACC is very good. You think they're overrated?
I have three ACC teams in my final four.
Okay, so you don't really think they're overrated then?
I just hate them.
Okay. Let's go with the SEC. Which team goes furthest in the SEC?
Oh, man. Florida? I'd like to see Wichita State beat Kentucky.
I'd like to see it. I'd like to.
Even though I get tired of Wichita State truthers.
I think Florida would have been the team to pick, but their player, gosh, what's that kid's name that got hurt and he's out for the year? Let's see here. John Igbuno or something like that.
Yeah, they got a tough draw, too.
Yeah, so Kentucky. It's got to be Kentucky. The ACC besides Kentucky and Florida is terrible.
Do you want to see Gonzaga succeed?
Yes.
So do I.
Yeah, I do. Because to me, they're not a flash in the pan mid-major where it's 1 year. They've been consistently there every year, and I'm tired of people kind of killing them because they haven't had a ton of success. Yeah. Make a Final Four.
Yeah.
I hope
losing to Syracuse last year was inexcusable.
Well, yeah, and then Virginia's loss to him was after Virginia beat Iowa State.
Yeah. Syracuse beat Gonzaga, and then Virginia lost to Syracuse.
And both of those times, I think both those teams were beating Syracuse by 12, 15 points and choked both of them.
I hate Syracuse. I don't like Jim Boeheim either.
I don't. Boeheim.
Whatever. I'm not going to pronounce the guy's name right. I don't like him.
Okay, Pac-12.
I say things weird.
Which team from the Pac-12 goes the furthest?
I think Oregon. I think Oregon's going to have that Ewing theory thing where the guy got hurt. They're gonna go on a run.
So Oregon was my number one pick. I do a thing with Charter and a couple other buddies where 2 weeks ago we went through it and we did a fantasy draft.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah. We picked 16 teams. My number one pick was Oregon, which at the time I felt really good about. Now Boucher's out for the year.
Yeah.
I still think that's a dangerous team, but Arizona's bracket is really pretty easy, so I'll go with Arizona. And then obviously now we're at the Big 12. Or you want to do Big East? Let's do Big East first. We'll finish up with the Big 12.
I don't know who's in the Big East.
Villanova.
I'm going to go Butler. Cincinnati because I want Cincinnati to beat UCLA.
Okay. They got to beat Kansas first. Kansas State first.
Yeah, I still think they can get it.
They should. That's still, to me,
Kansas
I don't care
State
what anyone
that
says.
Going to get an extension.
I've said this on 85 straight podcasts now that Cincinnati loss is the worst loss of the year.
Just call timeout.
In Hilton Coliseum, you hold them to 50 points.
Yeah, two timeouts. All Thomas has to do is call timeout.
Sickening.
Instead of throwing that ball away. Just wait till he gets fouled. One of two things happen. He gets fouled or calls him out. You don't throw it backwards.
You should have thrown the Cincinnati game on your pool.
I was pretty angry about that game. That was when Twitter started doing they're not going to make the tournament. This team sucks.
Yeah. Yep.
When they got ratcheted up after the West Virginia game at home.
All right. Last but not least, the Big 12.
I mean, I don't know. Probably Kansas. I like to see Iowa State make a run. But every time I think they're going to make a run, they lose in gut-wrenching fashion.
Yeah. You know, to me –
I think Oklahoma State can make a run. I mean, I think they can beat Michigan State. I think Michigan's going to be a little bit like Iowa State was UAB year.
Oh, you mean Michigan? Oh, they play Michigan. Okie State plays Michigan, yeah.
And they have the shooters that they can get hot versus anybody.
Yep. No, I don't think anyone wants to see Okie State. And I don't think anyone wants to see Michigan. That's a great first-round game.
And they play Louisville. I don't know anything about Louisville, but they don't have very high scoring games.
Louisville's tough. They're long, and they're coached by one of the all time greats in Patino. But for me, I look at the NCAA tournament for Iowa State where they're seated the same way I look at it in the Big 12 tournament. Just win the first game,
and then it's gravy,
and then everything else is just fun. You just don't want to lose the first game. It ruins the weekend watching. It ruins everything.
If they lose the first game, then you have team over there on the eastern side of the state.
Keep worrying about that. I don't care about that stuff.
You say that, but in the back of your head, it's there.
Honest to God, it is. And most of my friends are Hawkeye fans. It seems like most friends are here in the Des Moines area. I don't talk smack to them about Iowa State one way or the other. If they try to get me going, I don't even respond.
I've gotten old. I've gotten older. So I've lost the fire to fight them.
It wears you down.
That's why I have a couple of people on Twitter that are my apprentices. You got Gookin and Moldy. So Alex Kukin underscore and Moldy 78. That's who you need to follow if you want people to fight Iowa fans.
Yeah, Kukin, man. That kid.
He does it really sly-like, where Moldy's a sledgehammer. Gukin's like the one that like hides it like in a sly tweet, like the one the other day about Iowa State's won three tournament titles to Iowa's two tournament wins.
Yep, since 2011.
That's a sly tweet where Moldy just like slams you. Moldy's the brute force. Gukin's the kills you with a smile.
So if you want some good Hawkeye hating, those are who you need to follow.
Yeah, Moldy 78 and Alex Gukin underscore.
Perfect. All right, Ted, thanks for coming on. We're just shy of an hour, so we're not quite there. You're going to be on – you brought me some barbecue sauce.
Yeah, enjoy your Deadeye barbecue sauce.
Yeah, I will. I'll enjoy it. Thanks again for Charterhouse Real Estate for sponsoring this podcast. He's not even on. You're looking to buy or sell a house.
He was intimidated by me.
Yeah, he is. He, like I said, if I was Charter, I would tell you what he's sick
with.
Did
he have the clap?
I'm going to be the bigger man. Not going to tell anybody why Charter's sick.
Will antibiotics fix whatever's itching or crawling on him?
No comment. We'll have fun today on Murph and Andy.
Yeah.
That'll be just you and Andy?
I don't know who's going to be there. Maybe it's a trap. I know Murph's not there and Andy's not there. Oh. Andrew's not there. Andrew's not there, Murph's not there.
Yeah. So. I know Murph's up visiting the haunted house with Williams last night. So
haunted hotel.
All right, buddy. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Hey, go Cyclones. Yeah.